Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friends, I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people do not like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you. And it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved and have never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God in whose hand your very breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friends, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word today and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it's entitled, Praise Him, Jesus, Our Blessed Redeemer.
Our blessed Redeemer, sing ye, sing, His wonderful law proclaim. Hail Him, mightiest angels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. My God, Shepherd, Jesus will feed His people.
I thank God for the redemptive work of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today with thanksgiving in our heart thanking thee for thy sovereign grace that has plucked us as brands from the burning and placed us in Christ, where there's therefore now no condemnation. And our God, we have joy within our own hearts and souls today because we've been saved by thy grace. We're on the narrow road that goes to heaven, and it's all because of the value thou hast placed upon the death of thy Son. Father, we pray thy blessing today upon thy word about to be read and spoken from. We pray, our God, that if there be any listening in today who've never been redeemed by the blood of Christ alone, may it please thee, our God, by thy Holy Spirit and through thy word, to reveal to the unsaved their need of Jesus Christ as their Redeemer. May this be the day when they're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him who sits at thy right hand, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before we get into the Bible today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
To thee, my heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze of day may brighter fairer be. From thee I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be.
Those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today three verses as we find them in the book of Genesis, chapter 7. Genesis, chapter 7, and the first verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, here in these three verses of Scripture, we have what I like to refer to as the sweet invitation the wise acceptation, and the grand consolation. Yes, we have here in Genesis chapter 7 the story of Noah and his family entering the ark of safety. You recall how Noah warned the antediluvians for 120 years regarding the coming wrath of God. Yes, in Genesis 6 and 5 we read that God looked down from heaven and saw the great wickedness of man upon the earth. And he decided to destroy man from off the face of the earth unless man repented and entered the ark. Well, Noah preached to the people and sought to show them how they could escape the floodwaters by entering the ark. But they refused to heed the warning. And you know what happened? They all perished with the exception of Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Now just think of that. After 120 years of preaching the grace of God, Noah was only successful in persuading his own immediate family to flee from the wrath of God. Well, friends, here in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, we read of the sweet invitation given by God. And here's what he said. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. My, what an invitation this is. Neither wonder the ark is often referred to as a type of Christ. Sinner friend, remember this. Remember this fact regarding this invitation. God was in the ark. He says, come thou. And in order for him to say, come thou, he must have been in the ark too. Yes, God was in the ark. And so it is with the gospel. The invitation goes forth today. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, we read that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And again, we're reminded of the parable in Luke chapter 14 regarding the great supper. And after the preparations had been completed, the invitation goes out to the sinner. Come, for all things are now ready. Sinner friend, the eternal safety and security of your soul has already been provided for in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Son of God came all the way from heaven's heights and glory and went all the way to Calvary's cross. And there shed his precious blood so that you and I could be saved from the wrath of God. And when Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, he was dying for you and he was dying for me. And because of his death, we have eternal life. Yes, if we have faith in his death, we have eternal life. And because he was willing to bear our sins on his body on the cross, we need not be punished for our own sins. No, he was our substitute. Now, friends, the work of redemption has been completed by the Lord Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. One day in the heat of the noonday sun, he hung on a wooden cross made from a tree which he himself had created. And there he offered himself a sacrifice for our sins. In other words, he was our sin bearer, our substitute. And the prophet puts it this way in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes, sinner friend, he who knew no sin was made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner will trust in the finished work of God's Son, well, friends, according to the Bible, that sinner will be justified in the sight of a holy God. But again, I remind you that the sinner must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior and their Lord. In Matthew 11 and 28, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this gracious invitation to all who feel the plague of sin, to all those who feel the burden of their sin. Listen to this, friends. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, isn't that a sweet invitation? Yes, of course it is. And friends, don't forget that salvation is possible and available only through Jesus Christ. In Acts 4 and 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. In John 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, another interesting analogy between the Lord Jesus Christ and Noah's Ark is the fact that God was inviting Noah and his family to enter the one and only door into the Ark of Safety. And doesn't this speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he declares in John 10 and 9, I am the door, not a door, but I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be safe. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's ark of safety, is even now inviting you to enter while you may. And furthermore, he gives the assurance in John 6:37, that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting with open arms to receive the sinner who will come by faith to him and enter into the ark. Now let's turn our attention to our second scripture text for today, Genesis 7:7. There we read that Noah and his family went into the ark. Yes, they wisely accepted the invitation to enter the ark, and by faith, and faith alone, they left the rest of the world behind them, and they walked through the door of safety. And I can't help but wonder what the neighbors and others thought about Noah and his family going inside that great hulk of a boat. I'm sure they must have been skeptical, and they no doubt thought that the Noah family had gone stark raving mad. After all, it had never been known to rain before. And here was Noah warning people for 120 years about the water that was about to fall from heaven. And yet, even though the world was against him, Noah and his family went into the ark. And the reason they went in was simply because they believed the word of God. Over in Hebrews 11:6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And over in Romans 10:17, we're told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see, sinner friend, if we as sinners are ever to become children of God and enter the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, we must give heed to the word of God. That's the reason I continually bring before you the word of God, not my words, but the word of Almighty God. Now here in Genesis 7, we see that Noah believed God, and therefore he was saved from the wrath to come. And over in Hebrews 11:7, we're told, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things yet not seen, was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Yes, Noah not only believed God, but this belief was based on a reverential fear of God. Would that some of you listening in today feared God. In Proverbs 9:10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it seems to me that people fear each other, but they refuse to fear God. Well, friend, over in Proverbs 29:25, here's what we read. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Yes, the one whose fear is in God and not in man has an opportunity to accept Christ today. And a sinner won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ until he realizes the consequences of disobeying God and rejecting his love and mercy and grace, which were manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Luke 12:4-5, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ says, don't worry about what your friends and neighbors and relatives think. You be concerned about number one. You be concerned about your soul and your soul's relationship to a holy God. Because after all, God is the one who can not only kill, but also cast your soul into hell. Now then, let's take a look at our third scripture text for today, Genesis 7:16. And here we read of a grand consolation. Yes, here in Genesis 7:16, we're told that after Noah and his family went into the ark, the Lord shut them in. Now, friends, this is a fact which is most significant, because when the Lord God shut them in the ark, he also was shutting the rest of the world out. His grace had come to an end, and he was about to carry out his promise to destroy all those who refused to accept his offer of mercy. And so we read that the Lord shut them in. Now, friends, this fact also reveals to us the security of the believer, the security of all those who are in the ark. Yes, all those who are in Christ Jesus. The flood waters were about to engulf the entire earth, but they could never harm those who were safely in the ark because God had shut them in. And so it is with those who are in Christ. He has weathered the storm of God's wrath at Calvary's cross. In Psalm 42:7, he declares prophetically, all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Yes, the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore the brunt of God's righteous wrath when he shed his precious blood at Calvary's cross. And friends, don't ever lose sight of the fact that he was dying in our guilty room and in our stead. Yes, he was the just one, dying for us the unjust, so that he could bring us back to God. In Romans 4 and 25, we read that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Again, in Romans 8 and 32, we read that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Yes, the wrath of God, which had been pent up for centuries, came down upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, during those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. And neither wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken so that we might not be forsaken. He was bearing away your sins and my sins in his own body on the tree. And just as Noah's Ark withstood the storms of God's wrath, so too did the Lord Jesus Christ withstand the waves and billows of God's wrath for our sins. And those who are in the ark today, that is, in Christ Jesus, we too have been spared the punishment for our sins. In Romans 8 and 1, God declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. No condemnation now. As I said before, the security of the believer is forcibly expressed in these words, "The Lord shut them in." Sinner friend, once in the ark, or in Christ, you're in Christ forever. Now, I know that a lot of you listeners don't agree with me on this, but friends, it's because you don't know the truth of God's Word. Why, it's as plain as the nose on your face. Yes, once you're in the ark, or in Christ, God shuts you in. And in Ephesians 1 and 13, as well as in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we read that those who are in Christ Jesus are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, God places His seal of security and ownership upon everyone who accepts His Son as their Savior. Over in John 10 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Again in 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, here's what we read. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope for, "but that ye may know that ye have," H-A-V-E, "eternal life." Friends, if a sinner saved by grace could be lost again, then God would be a liar, and we know that God cannot lie. God tells us over and over again in His Word that the sinner who trusts His Son as their Savior already has eternal life. They're not going to get it when they die, but they receive eternal life the moment they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. In John 6 and verse 47, Jesus Christ declares, "He that believeth on me hath," present tense, "hath everlasting life." Yes, thank God, once saved, if saved, always saved. Sure, you can lose your fellowship with God, but you can never lose your relationship. Now remember, friends, eternal security does not give a person the license to sin. Oh, no. If a person is really a child of God, the desire to sin will not be present. But if a person does succumb to the human frailties, we read in 1 John 1 and 9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, that's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as He sits at the right hand of God today. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 we read, "These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, or lawyer, or mediator, or intercessor, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Friend, I thank God today that I'm found in Christ. I'm in the ark. But how about you? Friend, as you listen to this radio program called The Voice of the Gospel today, I tell you in love for your soul, you're either a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or else you're a child of the devil. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on the narrow road to heaven, or else you're on the broad road to hell. Friend, I ask you in love for your soul today, where would your soul be right now if your heart were to stop beating? If you were to die right now, friend, where would your soul be? It would either be in heaven, or else it would be in hell. It would be in heaven because you've placed your faith and trust in the shed blood of Christ alone. You know when, where, and how you were born again into the family of God. But my friend, if you've never had the second birth, if you've never been born again from above by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, I tell you, my friend, in view of eternity and in love for your soul, you would go down to a lost sinner's hell. You would go to the lake of fire. You would weep and wail and grind your teeth forever. But my friend, I want you to know the ark is still there. The Lord Jesus Christ still stands with open arms today, and he wants you to take a step of faith towards him. And my friend, if you do, you'll find yourself in his loving arms. Yes, friend, time is running out. Every indication in the world today points to the imminent return of God's beloved Son. And if you're not saved soon, the likelihood is you'll not be saved at all. So, friend, I plead with you today, wherever you might be listening to this voice of the gospel broadcast, I plead with you in love for your soul, in view of eternity. Yes, friend, believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we again bow in thy presence today at the close of another radio message. We thank thee again for the opportunity we've had of exalting the person of thy Son as the Savior of sinners. We pray thy blessing upon thy word. Honor afresh thy Son. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And that zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now on to our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.